aus dem Land der unendlichen Möglichkeiten nach München. Aufgewachsen im ländlichen Süden der USA ist der Baseballspieler Zach Trees über New York und Australien erst vor einigen Wochen nach München gekommen. Mitten hinein in eine verrückte Bundesliga-Saison bei den Haar Disciples. Was ihm nach dieser kurzen Zeit am München am meisten gefällt und was im Baseball in Deutschland verbessert werden kann, darüber habe ich mit ihm gesprochen. Das Gespräch haben wir auf Englisch geführt. In der Beschreibung findet ihr einen Link zu einem kleinen Wörterbuch von Fachwörtern, die während dieser Folge genannt werden. Mein Name ist Finn Wiedmann und ihr hört die Sportgondel.
Ich kann nur dazu sagen, wenn Sie flotte Sprüche hören wollen, dann müssen Sie nach München gehen.
Die Sportgondel. Der Lift für Sportfreunde.
Fort der da oben, wie die gesenkte Sau. Muss es so sagen.
So that's actually the first English podcast episode of the Sportgondel. And I'm very happy to welcome an American baseball player who's joining me right now. Zach, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Let me just give you a run through and our listeners as well on what can be expected from this episode. As mentioned already, our podcast is called the Sportgondel and roughly it translates to ski gondola. And in my research up to this interview, I found some pictures of you actually with a snowboard. So I guess you're quite familiar with it.
Yep, definitely done some snowboarding.
So we will have different stops all the way through your career and your life. We will start with your childhood and youth, then your time in college, then the career stops in the US and Australia. And then with our last stop, we will look at your life in Germany. So with that, let's get into the gondola. Are you ready, Zach?
Yeah, sounds good. Let's get with it.
So how can our listeners picture your life, your childhood life in Arkansas, in the south of USA?
So Arkansas, we don't have a MLB team or any major league team, I guess, for sportings. It's not a very wealthy state as that goes. So I guess we couldn't support the funding for those types of teams. But we definitely still have a lot of good sports as far as getting outside for the youth. As you get older, you kind of lose the opportunity to play professional sports unless you go on to play in like major leagues and those types of things in America. But no, I started playing baseball when I was 5. Just loved the game, you know, getting to play the game with my friends and all that stuff. It just kept me anxious on getting to get another opportunity to play every day. Just from the time I was younger, started, like I said, when I was 5, playing wherever the coach would put me. Started out as shortstop and just had a really good arm to throw it across the diamond. And then as, you know, we get older, we have to start pitching and the game develops. So it goes in America, where I'm from, we go from coach pitch and T-ball at 5 and 6 to 7 and 8, which is a pitching machine league. Mm-hmm. With a little bit softer ball. And then at 9 and 10, you start having live arm pitching. So the kids start pitching, but the bases, they can't steal bases or anything. And then as you get older, like you start getting leads and like the distance starts getting further and back from the mound. So, you know, you start getting progressively, you know, more advanced and your skills get better. But I grew up as a shortstop and the teams that I was on, I would play just wherever we really needed the help. I caught, I played first base. Played the outfield when I needed it. I pitched, obviously. But no, shortstop was my position growing up.
What are the other positions you just mentioned? Shortstop and first base?
Shortstop would be the position between second and third base. And predominantly, there's most right-handed batters. And generally, right-handed batters pull the ball to the left side of the field most of the time. So shortstop gets a lot of the action. And there's not as many lefties, so I guess the right side of the field doesn't get as much when you're growing up, more or less, because guys aren't throwing very hard. But no, shortstop gets the most action and usually has the most plays for a defensive strategy.
So what was it about being a pitcher that made you want to stay a pitcher?
I actually grew up all the way through up until I got into college as a shortstop and just as anywhere the team needed me. I mean, like I said, I pitched all through growing up, But when I got into college is whenever they turned me into a pitcher only.
You mentioned you started when you were 5 years old. How did you get exposed to it though? Like your dad or your parents introduced you to it or your friends?
So I just registered for school. We start school whenever we're five in America. We go to kindergarten is what it's called. And registering for school just before the summer, they had baseball signups. So I actually got to sign up and play baseball on a team before I actually started to go to school. So I made friends on the baseball team before I actually got to go and start school, which was really cool because you get to build those relationships and then you have those common interests with those kids when you go to school.
So it was more about the community building or finding friends than about the sports itself in the beginning?
Definitely. Yeah, just in being able to be outside and having fun. Yeah.
Why baseball, though, and not football or basketball?
I did play those sports growing up and through high school and stuff. Just didn't see a professional career or even going in through college with it. I was pretty average in those sports and I felt like I stood out more with baseball. I also was a bowler in high school. I actually stopped playing football when I was in ninth grade and started bowling. Football was a pretty high contact sport. And at that time in my life, I was not very, very thick. I was pretty skinny and tall. So I hadn't really developed as an athlete. So bowling was kind of an out to help me develop my arm strength more or less and it just really worked out with pitching and getting my wrist strength and arm strength built up and just consistency with a step. I mean, there's a lot of correlation that goes in with bowling and pitching.
So when you mention that you also pursued other sports, but didn't see quite a career in them, what were your goals for baseball though? Did you have any dreams in your early ages?
I think every kid that plays in America dreams of playing in the big leagues and seeing that there is, you know, a potential career and something you could really do and go on to be a superstar as those guys do. But I just wanted to be able to get to college. That was really important for me. That was a really big stepping stone in my path was making it to college. And I didn't get signed. Like they didn't come and recruit me for college. I walked on. So I had enrolled in school and then went down and showed up at the practice and told the coach, hey, you know, I'm a shortstop. Would you guys mind? You know, it's called a walk-on. And so I walked on to practice as a shortstop and they saw my arm and then they saw my swing and they were like, well, our guys have some pop. Would you mind, you know, we could use you in our bullpen. And so that's kind of how I got groomed into being a pitcher only.
You got any role models when you were growing up? Any favorite teams by any chance in the MLB?
Cardinals, they're the closest to where I'm at in Arkansas, and that's where I've spent most of my time playing for the most part in the States. I spent 4 years in that area playing.
You said you were hoping to get in college with sports, I guess. When did you actually want to pursue that dream like to the fullest extent? Was that still in high school?
That was in college. Okay. It was my junior year. I played several summers in a collegiate summer leagues. And one of the summers I was playing in Kentucky for the Tradewater Pirates. And we were just about to be at the All-Star break in July. And I had like 30 appearances or 28 appearances in 30 days or something. I'd really thrown a whole lot. Like it was a really large amount. And I ended up having some elbow issues. My nerve, ulna nerve started to twinge a little bit. So my hand started to go numb. And I got some inflammation. And in 2011, I had to have my ulna relocated, which is your funny bone, more or less. Mm-hmm. And so they took that and they do that in the surgery of Tommy John. Because I didn't have anything torn, I didn't have to have Tommy John, thankfully.
What's Tommy John again?
So Tommy John is full elbow reconstruction of the UCL joint.
Okay.
And yeah, if you blow out your UCL, they have to go in and do full reconstruction. But luckily, I didn't have anything torn. It was just the hyperextension of my arm causing my ulna nerve to move out of its socket. And therefore I felt like I was hitting my funny bone every time. And so the doctor went in and it was an 8 week recovery and I came back throwing harder. And that was my junior going into senior year. And that was where like an eye opening experience where I realized, hey, you know, I've got something, you know, I have a good arm. It's healthy. It doesn't hurt. You know, I didn't tear it. It's not like I had bad mechanics, but there was a little hiccup with my, you know, nerve, but it was fixed. And that was where I was starting to drive to, you know, want to be a professional.
That's interesting though. Did your parents ever try to get you away from baseball after your injuries? Or did you say no? It's just part of the game.
No, they saw my passion when I was growing up and the type, like how it molded me and being the person that I am. Really just respectful and doing things the right way all the time. It really matters. Baseball does do that for people, hold you accountable for, you know, your teammates. They look up to you and, you know, you have to, and you look up to them as well. And it's just a family unit.
Were you a team leader of some sort in high school or in school by any chance?
I didn't really have the pivotal role on those teams in high school to be the leader, I would say. I was outspoken in my own way, but it was, I thought it was, you know, I was just being myself most of the time. So I wasn't like the starting pitcher or the starting shortstop in high school. I had to earn my spot, and there was a lot of other kids on my team that were getting opportunities over me. And I just, you know, I was there whenever I got my opportunity, but I wasn't, you know, my parents weren't telling the coach to play me, or, you know, it was kind of a, you know, if I get my opportunity, I did. But I played summer ball as well in high school. So I was playing for different coaches and I was getting opportunities for other coaches to play. And that's kind of how I was able to prove myself.
So what's summer ball?
Summer ball is separate from high school. So high school season starts in the spring and it ends at the end of the school season, which is in March. And then summer ball picks up, and that's called like American Legion. And you have that whenever you turn 15, 16, you play American Legion. And that is a like national high school state summer league.
I think we can conclude the first journey now with your childhood and youth. Let's continue with college. I mean, you mentioned it already. In Germany, it's kind of, we don't have that system here where you play sports in universities and that's the big thing here. But we always look to the US with the big shows and with the marching bands in football or baseball as well.
Yep.
So how is it actually playing baseball in college?
I found that it was a really bonding experience for me and those teammates. Like I said, I was saying earlier, I walked on. So I just showed up and was like, hey, you know, do you guys have a spot for me? Would you be interested in having me on the team? Hopefully I can, you know, be a contributor. And I was able to be that. But my first year I got redshirted. So redshirted means I was on the team, but I was not eligible to play for that season. So I was actually in that college for 5 years to get my degree. Just because of the redshirt year, I still had 4 years of eligibility on the field. So my first year, which was my freshman year, I was just working out and getting stronger and being developed. So that way, when I had that next year, when I was a freshman on the field, I was ready. And coming out of high school, if you don't have really good habits, which most kids don't, unless they have a really good coach, you don't have like a big like workout, or you don't have a good diet, so you're not putting on weight properly, and you know, you're not building up your body. And so that's what that redshirt freshman year did for me. It gave me time to develop, get stronger,
okay,
watch the game and see the speed of the game, and then that next year being prepared for it.
So when you had that redshirt freshman year, did others have that as well?
Some, yes. It's not uncommon for guys that they see potential in that maybe they don't have a spot for them that year, or just want, they need to get development a little bit more.
Just kind of keeping them on the leash, or
I guess you could say that. I was 17 when I graduated high school, when most people are 18. So I was really young for my graduating class. So that just gave me a year to kind of catch up to those guys that were a little bit more developed.
When you say you were younger than others, you were also playing older players then, older teams. How was that experience?
College or in the growing up? Which one?
College.
In college? So, yeah. So, like, you played, you're on a team with juniors, seniors, sophomores, and freshmen as well. And usually the older guys are the ones getting the most playing time because they have the most experience. But, yeah, you are, as a freshman, still getting out there and having your opportunity to make a contribution and pitch and play.
How did you get into your college? I mean, I see right now you have it on your the shirt.
Yeah.
I think you can pronounce it, because I would pronounce it Wachita.
Washita, yeah. It's like a silent W, but yeah, Washita. It's an Indian name, Native American.
Is that a college which is among the good professional sports universities, or was it just the one closest to you?
It was actually one of the closest to me. And at that time, I was looking at it just because, yeah, it was close to home. And I was unsure if I was going to be on the baseball team. And I knew that if I wasn't going to be on the team, that I would probably have to stay at home and have a job as well. So I wouldn't be staying on campus. I would be driving back and forth. But because I did get on the team, I did get in the dorms and get to have the whole college experience.
And when you say you get into the college, do you get a scholarship when you pursue sports, or do you pay regularly?
So you can apply for grants and things. If you have a certain GPA, you can also get, you know, scholarships and stuff like that for those things. But my first year, I wasn't on any baseball scholarship money. I did a thing what's called work studies. So I was able to do things like I was doing field work at the field to earn money for like books and stuff. And also I was helping wash the jerseys and the pants and stuff for after the games and just doing laundry. And yeah, just so work study is a way to earn scholarship money. Or like my first year, I was taking a ticket to the gate for the games.
What were your dreams or your goals now in college? After obviously childhood playing in the big leagues, as you mentioned, what were the goals now in college? When you get older, you usually have a more realistic view on things, but also you're much closer to the big leagues.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, once I got to up until I got into college, that was my biggest thing. I didn't really see Pro Bowl as a reality. I didn't know that it would be an option, because at that point I wasn't getting much opportunity with the teams I was playing with in high school. So by getting to make it on my college team, I was able to prove myself. I had some really good stats my junior and senior year, my last 2 years of college. And that's kind of where I was getting talked to by professional teams. Up until the time I had graduated, I didn't think that I would be going to play Pro Bowl. My job was going to be to go coach and get a full-time coaching job. And
in a university or for another team?
Probably for a university. That's what I was looking at. But at that point, I was still up in the air. I mean, I was even thinking possibly go high school, or, you know, go back and coach a high school team just to get, you know, a coaching resume built up. But whenever I graduated college, we had just finished the conference championship, and we had lost the first game of the tournament, and it was a double elimination, and we played, I think it was 9 games after that loss to go to the championship. And the only games that I didn't pitch in was the first game and the last game. Yeah. We had a really, really good run. And because we stayed all the way through the tournament, our finals at school were being taken that week. And we lost on Thursday, and I had to go back on that Friday and take all of my finals my senior semester on one day.
So it's not quite that relaxing. Imagining, okay, you can pursue sports and also go to college.
It's very tough. It's time management, and that's something that it definitely taught me, was time management and just learning how to prepare, and being prepared is really important.
Are there any other colleges that have their scouts out there to search for other good players in other colleges, or other teams which send their scouts out? I think you mentioned earlier the teams contacted you.
So in college, they have what's called junior colleges, and that's a 2-year university. And so the guys that weren't looked at that want to go to like a big Division I school, like a, you know, a massive like 4-year university, like the University of Arkansas is a really big one. Any SEC school, which is the Southeast Conference, like Florida or Alabama. But I mean, once you get into a school that's a 4-year university, you usually stay there unless you have an issue at that school and you do transfer out. But the junior colleges are a big breed. Like, that's usually where the college coaches will go to pick their players, as far as like a key, you know, they're going to give this guy money to come to their university. They would go to a junior college more so than a high school. They will go to high schools just to get, you know, young talent that they could potentially groom and have them be good juniors and seniors. But junior colleges are more so where they go to get the guys for money. But junior college is also cheaper to go to school, so you don't have to pay as much to attend.
So did you get any offers by teams when you were in college?
No. I was honestly just happy being at the university that I was at. I went to a private university, so I wasn't tempted to go out and have big raging parties, you know, like long weeks. I did a pretty good job of, you know, I'm not saying I didn't go out and have a good time, but I did a good job of managing that time of still making, you know, staying eligible to be on the field and making my grades and stuff. Where at a big university, I can definitely see where the tempting to fall away from your studies and be distracted.
What did you actually study?
I have my degree in kinesiology, which is kinetic energy, the body in motion.
So I guess that has something to do with your sports as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. So coaching, it's a good base for coaching, being able to help people with their mechanics, fundamental mechanics of even just running, walking, going, those types of things.
So later on, when you said in the beginning you didn't actually want to go to teams because you wanted to stay in college, at some point, did you still have that dream of going to the big leagues?
In college, I did, yes. Whenever I walked across the stage the day I graduated, I hadn't had any contact with any professional teams.
So how was that for you?
I pitched really well, and I wasn't sure like if I was gonna get a phone call or anything like that. But the day we had all my finals were on that Friday. I walked across the stage on Saturday, and had lunch with my family after the graduation. You know, got my diploma. We went to have lunch, and I hadn't had my phone on me all day. And so, like at lunch, I'd have my phone. I opened it up, and I had a voicemail. And I was like, "Oh man, I wonder what this could be." And it was the pitching coach from the Gateway Grizzlies, which was my first professional team that I signed with. They had contacted me and said that they were really impressed with what they had saw in my conference tournament performance, and that they were wanting me to fly up to St. Louis the next few days to have a tryout. And that was the first and the only contact I had to pro ball out of college.
I love the fact that you always introduced the next stop as well. So, you mentioned the Grizzlies, and now we're actually done with the second journey. Now we're coming to the stop with your career, with your career stops. You were playing the Grizzlies. They were in Illinois. So that was the first time you moved away from home. Like farther distance.
Playing in summer collegiate leagues, I played in Kansas for the Hutchinson Monarch, and then my second year, I played in Kentucky, which is where I had my elbow when I hurt my elbow. Mm-hmm. And then the next summer, I went and played in Quincy, Illinois, for the Quincy Gems. So I played three summer leagues, living away from, you know, out of Arkansas. So I guess that kind of got me exposed to being away from home, and I was a bit more comfortable with it. But living full time, like I was in St. Louis, that was awesome. I really enjoyed being there and having that, I don't know, it was a really good support for my first professional team. I had a good living arrangement and just good people around me. So it made me feel really comfortable and more like at home.
Actually, when I looked you up, I found a couple of stats of you and your stops as well, but there is, between 2018 and this year, there's a gap.
Yeah. So in 2018, in August of that season, I had developed bicep tendonitis and kind of lost the looseness in my arm. My arm had just tightened up, and it was because I was overusing it. And so in that August, I had gotten my release from the York Revolution and went home and was giving lessons and still training and was anticipating on going back to play, but my arm had not stopped reciting. It just, the tendonitis didn't go away. So I chose to step away from the game for about 6 months and moved to Colorado and became a snowboard instructor at Breckenridge, which is a ski resort in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 6 months that year and was doing some altitude training while I was up there with some guys that had played some college ball. And was doing some throwing, and my arm felt great. And when I came home from that snowboard season, I started throwing again and sent some videos back over to Australia and got another opportunity to go back over there. And that's when I just went back and played club for Australia. And that was in 2019.
Playing club means?
So club ball is the step below the ABL. So club is like...
The ABL is the highest league.
It's the top in Australia, yeah. That's the Australia big leagues is what they call it. But club was just in Windsor, so I was in Queensland, just on that side in that continent, playing twice a week as opposed to four games a week. and not leaving out of the continent or out of that state territory.
So the teams you mentioned before, York Revolution, you lived in Illinois, Pennsylvania, Indiana, New York, Ohio. So I guess you love to travel, or
I'm comfortable with it. Yeah, definitely. I enjoy it for sure. And I appreciate the different cultures. That's one thing I've definitely learned over traveling, is just being able to like see the difference and be like, man, you know, like it's not like this in other places, you know, that's super rewarding.
Does that have something to do with that you grew up in Arkansas? I mean, Arkansas is kind of a rural state, I'd say, and quite a smaller state. Yeah. Was that kind of always your goal to someday experience the world?
I think everybody kind of has that, right? I think we all kind of have that weird little hair up us that just want to go and just travel and just go and do what you want to do all the time. I didn't really grow up around the ocean, so I've gotten to live places near the ocean and really get to have that full on experience and do that kind of thing. But traveling is awesome. Like that's the biggest reward, I would say, apart from getting to compete and do what I love. Getting to see different parts of the world is right there with it.
The first time you moved across the pond, when you moved to Australia, why Australia and how did it happen?
So I had just finished the season with the River City Rascals, which was my last team that I played with in the Frontier League. The Frontier League is the league that the Gateway Grizzlies are also in. That's the first professional league that I played in. I played in that league for 6 years. When I was, I think I was 26. Yep, I was 26 in 2016, and that was my last year in the Frontier League, or I would have aged out.
So after you would have aged out, then you decided, yeah, okay, Australia.
I had gotten traded to the Long Island Ducks for the playoffs of that same season. So the Rascals went to the championship, and then on the bus ride home, my manager contacted me and was like, hey, would you be interested in continuing playing? And I'm like, well, yeah, what's going on? I'd already committed to going to Australia with the Bandits. But the manager asked if I would, still want to play in the States still. And I'd got traded to Long Island Ducks for their playoffs. And that had happened before the championship had even had occurred. The Bandits had actually contacted me through Facebook. That's actually how I've gotten a lot of the opportunities to keep playing overseas and stuff, especially with Will. We've stayed in contact through, and we'll get to that in a bit, but the Bandits owner, Mark Reedy, had contacted me on Facebook and saw that I had some really good statistics and that I was a free agent. I wasn't under contract to go back and play with any other teams at that moment. So yeah. I'd signed that contract with them.
Is that typical, would you say, that teams contact players through social media, or even at your stage, like, do you have agents or something like that?
So I've never had an agent. I've always been a free agent guy. I've just had teams contact me directly, and it's honestly, I don't know if it's helped me or hurt me, but it's kind of a blessing in disguise because I haven't had to pay anyone to represent me. And I mean, not like I've made much money by any means, but it's the money that I have made. I could be giving it away or, keeping it, or, I could lose opportunities because I'm asking, or, there's lots of other things that go into getting an agent, but I mean, I haven't ever had to have one.
I mean, you just mentioned money. Out of the top 20 largest current contracts in sports, 14 of them are from baseball players. And currently, I think the average salary in the MLB is at $4 million. Like, you kind of get the feeling that it's very high paid sports when you achieve the highest level. When you played in Australia, now in Germany, or the other teams in the US, would you say you can live off it?
You have to have support with like housing, I would say, because that can be really expensive. But a lot of the teams, like when you're playing independent ball in America, for example, or even some affiliated balls, they have teams, or they have families that are close with the team, and they are called host families, and they allow the players to live at their home. They'll have dinner for them or a separate part of the house. They've just got room for an extra person to live there, and they don't usually charge. Now, sometimes they do, And sometimes the team will cover that. Sometimes it's, you know, personally, but the host families help out a lot because you're not wanting to go and sign a lease for 6 months in a place that you're only going to live for, you know, five. And you're having to deal with a lot of other issues as opposed to having that open home.
Why is it though, besides for your love to travel, what is it like? Why do you keep changing teams? And I think you're not an outlier, I guess. Many players do that. Why is it always for such a short period of time that you stay with the teams?
I was with the Bandits for 2 years. And I had bicep tendonitis in New York, and so I wasn't available for that next season. If I had had another good season, I probably would have went back and played with the Bandits in the ABL that next season. But because that opportunity was gone. And a lot of the times it's just, you know, teams seek you out. They're like, hey, you know, you would be a really good addition for our team. I'm a good contribution. So whenever I was with the Gateway Grizzlies and got traded to the Lake Erie Crushers, I was a reliever for the Grizzlies and then got traded to the Crushers, and then I was turned into a starter. So I went from being a starter with them back to a closer with the Rascals. And then I was a bullpen guy with the Ducks, but I've made spot starts. And really, as a pitcher, I don't really have a set role. Like, I'll start, I'll close, I'll be a long relief guy. I'm not the type to be like, no, I'm a starter, or I'm a closer. It's, you know, whatever the team needs. And that's just kind of how I was raised to play.
So when you say relief pitchers, those are the pitchers who are in the game after the starting pitchers injured themselves or having a bad streak, or
they get tired. Yeah.
Yeah.
In America, we have more, there's more pitchers in a bullpen. So a bullpen are like the guys that are starters. Mm-hmm. So you usually have five starters for a typical like week of play. And they'll go into five game rotation. And then the bullpen, you usually have about six guys in the bullpen, maybe more, maybe less. Just depends. You usually have a lefty or two in the bullpen, and then you have your closer. And then you have guys that can go longer innings. And the importance of that is everybody has a role. So you kind of have an idea of when you're going to go into the game. Like, if it gets past a certain situation or past a certain point, the long relief guy knows he's not going to pitch that day. So he's there kind of just in case. And then the closer knows if the game's not winning, if they don't have a lead by a couple runs, he's not going to pitch that day either. So, I mean, there's a purpose for each pitcher.
So is there a specific role that you like most, even though you say you're open to anything?
I like closing because I do well under pressure. I've also been the guy that they bring in with bases loaded and no outs to get us out of the jam, to minimize the damage. I like being thrown to the fire and having to you know, be on my game at that point and not have time to, you know, worry or think about it really. It's just, you know, react and go.
Australia, you said you were part of the closers. Now
I was a reliever. Yeah,
reliever. Now you are a starting pitcher. And now we actually come to our last stop. A couple of weeks ago, you moved to Germany, to Munich. Why Munich?
Connections have a lot to do with it. It's not about so much of what you know, but who. And I had a good connection with one of the coaches here and players, in Will Thorpe, being our catcher. Him and I developed a relationship. We were able to play in 2016 together in Australia. He was one of our catchers over there, and he saw that I had some quality pitches and that I was not currently signed with anyone to play this summer or this season. And he contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested. And then, you know, I gave him the thumbs up, and so it went. Munich's a beautiful place. I've heard, you know, Ryan Bollinger and I, he was a former Brisbane Bandit as well as Munich disciple. Mm-hmm. And him and I played together in Brisbane as well. And he spoke really well of the place and he really enjoyed his time here. And so I took his, you know, recommendation as well as, you know, Will's word for it, but definitely happy with the choice.
So you've never traveled to Europe before?
I mean, it was definitely on the list. Definitely been on the list.
And now you can cross it off.
Down and check out the mountains. Yeah. Well, I hopefully we can cross some of the borders and I can get a couple to the other countries that are in the area. But I want to go see the mountains a little further south of us here. You can see them on the horizon.
I guess that's a great thing about Germany or Munich, that we're pretty much in the center of Europe. So you can travel to other countries very, very easily. You mentioned in the beginning that you lived in Colorado and you were snowboarding. In Munich, in the area of Munich, we have mountains, the Alps. Have you had the chance to go there yet?
No, definitely wanting to. I've talked to some of the teammates and we may even bust out some of the old snow gear and take a hike and get a free run down some trees, find some fresh powder, hopefully. But that's going to have to be we'll probably take a trip middle of the week and take an adventure and try and get some footage of it.
Other things you've done in Munich up till now? I mean, it's not that easy to go to restaurants or anything right now, but have you experienced any other things in Munich?
I was able to, like, I've been out to the English Garden, and I've gone to the Yser and seen, like, along the river where the surfers like to have their fun, and a couple of the gardens. But I went out to one of my first beer garden on Friday.
And how was it?
And it was awesome. It was good to get a social event and have some people out around us having beers and, you know, just being a part of the culture. I had a big pretzel and a couple of big mosque. It was delicious. I love the beer here. And the pretzels are, you know, amazing. Can't go wrong with that. But definitely more beer gardens to be had and a lot of sights to see around the area. I love the history, like the old churches and all that stuff, and just learning about, you know, what was going on in that time period and why things are the way they are today because of things that were going on then. And yeah, I appreciate the history.
Do you have any contact with other Americans living here? Because we do actually still in the southern part of Germany, we still got many Americans living here, soldiers. We still got a couple of army bases here. Do you have any chance to be in contact with them? I mean, some people actually come to your games, I guess.
Yeah, but I haven't actually had too many encounters with other Americans apart from the guys that are on the team. Yeah, not so much.
Besides that, your team, when you arrived, did they accept you from the beginning? And how did they welcome you?
You know, it's kind of they've already started their season and they weren't off to too hot of a start. So they were kind of needing a good change of vibe, good change of energy. I feel like I brought that to them. The first game that I was able to go to, we were in Regensburg. We got beat pretty bad that game. But you know, it was tough to see guys almost like doubting their, you know, their worth or their abilities. And then, you know, having a fresh new on out there, seeing that, you know, I'm out there competing and I'm there to, you know, give them a chance to win the ball game. I can't do it alone. Of course, I don't score the runs. I just try to keep the other team from doing that. But, you know, just knowing that, like, I'm going to give them an opportunity to put up the fight, you know, I feel like the change of energy and, that the atmosphere that the kind of stuff that I bring to the table is, it's not so much of I'm not a cheerleader, but I'm definitely there for support and I'm not just about myself, but I'm about the team. When I'm in the dugout, I'm cheering on my batters. You know, I want every batter to do his job and do well, as well as, you know, the pitchers. When I'm not on the mound, I'm cheering on my pitcher, just being a good teammate.
That's something that actually is very common to see, that you're out there, even though when you're not on the field, I often see you when I watch you cheering on your guys. And also, I guess on the weekend against the Guggenheimer Legionäre, you were again out there in the last couple of innings on the first base, I guess, telling your players to stop the run or go on.
Yeah, coaching first, yeah.
So is that something you can learn now and take away from the game now since you're a professional since over 10 years and help others? As well, that you can now also pursue your love of coaching?
So I've actually coached first base on a lot of the teams that I've played for. Like, you know, I went to college to be a coach. So like, I definitely do plan on, like, as long as I'm able to put on a uniform and play, the way I look at it is I'm building a resume in the baseball realm. I'm a student of the game. I'm always learning from different things that are happening on the field. learning how to deal with adversity and deal with different types of personalities that are out there, because all the teammates are different. And I know that when I'm around the coach, I have to be able to resonate and respond to all those different types of guys and not just the ones that I like or the ones that, you know, I have similar, you know, looks or interest in, whatever. As long as I'm playing, I'm learning. I love being on the field. Like, even if I'm not on the mound, like, you know, I want to be coaching first base, or I want to be just part of the game. Even like you said, like, you hear me in the dugout when I'm chirping on, you know, I'm in the game all the time, because that's, you know, that's the teammate that I want to have as well as, you know, I want to be.
You mentioned Will Thorpe in the beginning. How close is the relationship, and how important is the relationship between a catcher and a pitcher?
First, trust is really important. You have to trust their judgment, and, you know, believe that they're going to make the right decision. And I mean, initially they're giving you a suggestion when you're the pitcher. They're not making you throw that pitch. They're just saying, hey, I think you should throw this. And we as a pitcher can shake and say, no, I don't want to throw that. Or, yeah, I agree with you, let's throw that. So like, whenever the ball gets hit or if he strikes out, it's not the catcher's discretion. It's more the pitcher's end result. So if the guy hits a home run, it's not the catcher's fault. You know, he told you to throw a fastball, you threw a fastball, the guy hit it. It's not his fault. You know, you've missed your spot. But you know, yeah, it's very important. Him and I are close. We had some good talks, and I'm helping him with the academy and helping the younger guys as well. And that's a big part of also what I'm trying to do over here, is, you know, be a good influence on those younger guys and show them that, you know, if you work really hard and you be a good teammate, the good things are going to happen and the good energy is going to be there.
What would you say are the biggest differences between baseball in the U.S. and baseball in Germany? Because Germany is a big soccer nation. We got some other sports here as well. But I guess when it comes to American sports, the biggest, I guess, basketball. And then behind that, football since a couple of years now. But baseball's never been up there. So how do you view baseball in Germany?
Gathered from it, and it hasn't been as true as what I think it is because of COVID. Like, we don't really get the drawing. We don't get the fans coming out and cheering and that whole atmosphere. But it's definitely unknown. It's uncharted territory. There's a lot of potential for growth here for it. There's a lot of teams that I don't think people realize that are like club teams that are out here, like second teams that are competing to try and get in the first, you know, first league, first team. So, I mean, I think that's like, that opened my eyes up to that as well. I didn't realize all that is, you know, that there's a lot of teams in Munich that are playing to try and be first team, but, you know, the disciples are doing their job at holding the top of the league and getting to be that first Bundesliga team over here. But, like that's something that people don't realize in the States, that you get to, you know, you have that opportunity over here, where in the States, we don't have that. We don't have like a men's league or, like second or third team. You know, it's really like, okay, once you get to a certain age, you either play softball and it's like a beer league kind of thing. It's not so much competitive, or, you know, you coach. You know, that's kind of why I've sought baseball away from the US as well, is because it's more developed in other areas where it could be, you know, I could be more of an addition or something to a team over here, as opposed to sitting in a bullpen on a team and, you know, sitting on a shelf, so to say. I don't want to sit on a shelf. I want to be a contribution as long as I'm able to play. And then when I'm not able to play, I'll hang the cleats up and be the coach with a whistle.
So what do you think can be improved in baseball in Germany? Whether it's structures within the league, within the teams, that you got to know now, when you're playing opponents from other cities?
So something I would probably say is, like, we don't have much of an, it's coming into work in progress, and I've been able to see what Will's got going on over here as far as the academy, and just getting a place for indoors is really important. Having a place to go and train year round is crucial, especially with you guys don't have the warmest of weather year round here. So it's kind of hard to go outside and hit a ball whenever your hands are freezing, you know, and there's snow on the ground. So like,
but I guess you're kind of spoiled when you come from the south of the US with good weather.
Oh, well, so I mean, just to put it out, I was back home surfing behind the boats the week before I came out to Germany, and it was, you know, snowing when I got here. And I'm like, oh man, this is a bit of a climate change, but yeah, you know, let's go. But I had just gotten sunburned. I had a fresh sunburn, and I got over here, and it was just like, oh, I'm freezing.
But it's even better here in the southern part of Germany than in the northern part. So I guess you kind of be lucky.
Well, and I'm just happy to be by the mountains. Like, the mountains are awesome. I'm really looking forward to getting out and exploring those.
Right now, your team has a losing streak of 4 when we include the game against Mannheim, which I guess one inning is still to be played. Before that, you guys had a 5-game winning streak. And before you came, actually, the team won only 1 game out of 7 games. And then you arrived, and then immediately you guys won. I talked to your coach, Alex Tufts, and he mentioned the honeymoon period's not over yet with you. And he's still impressed by all your work. How does that make you feel when your coach gives you that praise?
I mean, you know, it's a huge compliment. I have a lot of respect for him, but I have a lot of high expectations for myself as well. And that's what keeps me driven and striving to set the bar higher than, you know, what it currently is or what it's, you know, potentially has to be. And I just want to, you know, I take it in stride and appreciate, you know, the moments, but at the same time, I'm not content. I want to have a spot in the playoffs and know that we're going to make that spot. But it's good though, you know, we're the underdog, which is not a bad thing because we're hungry and we're not content. We know that there's room for growth and room to get better. And that's, you know, that's what our team sees as the potential. And that's really important. When you lose sight of that, then it's kind of like you lose hope. But, you know, we're putting up good fights against good teams and, you know, we're right there in it. You know, one pitch away, one making a pitch and not getting a hit or getting a hit, making it, you know, it's one pitch, but that's the game.
So how do you get consistency back? How can you create a momentum where you can win again?
I mean, just getting guys to just keep putting in the work. A lot of times when you have a lot of success, you become complacent and you think you've got it all figured out. And whenever you start to struggle, you realize, oh man, I still have a lot more to work on. So whenever I don't know that this is our case, so to say, but we had won 5 games in a row and we were feeling pretty good about ourselves. And maybe they were comfortable and complacent a little bit, not saying that they were, but guys can get that way in the middle of a season, especially when they're having some luck and things are going their way. But maybe, you know, just getting back to that hard nosed attitude where we got to keep grinding and earning those wins. And, you know, we got to beat the good teams to be in the fight. It's not just the lower ranked teams that matter. It's all the teams that we have to, you know, hold our own against them.
Since you came mid-season, I guess you didn't quite experience what happened here preseason. There were talks that the season cannot even be started this year. The Northern Bundesliga, because there's the southern part and the northern part, those two conferences, they didn't even start yet. Most of the teams. Did your teammates tell you about the struggles beforehand? And does that affect the team right now or the players?
So I did know about it. That's kind of what was delaying on me getting out here so early. I mean, I could have flown out a couple of weeks earlier, but I've been stuck in quarantine. And at that point, they weren't sure that they were going to allow me through the border. So that was the waiting period that I was on. But no, maybe if I had gotten here a little bit earlier just to, you know, be a little bit more support and, you know, show them that, hey, we've got, you know, a quality game 2 starter that is going to get us some innings. But I mean, the guys, they've played together for a little while, you know, they've got chemistry, they know each other. They know what they've got in each other. And I just think they got off to a slow start because of, yeah, I mean, it's not warm here. They weren't able to get a lot outside and the bats weren't warm. Pitchers hadn't seen a whole lot of live batters either. So, I mean, there's a lot of that preparation that goes into play there.
I guess the goal before the season by the Hart Disciples was to reach the playoffs. You mentioned it as well. You're right now, you're in 6th spot, but very close to the others before you. So except for first and second place, what do you think are your chances of reaching the playoffs?
I mean, I know we have to win pretty much every game to keep us and to keep an opportunity, which is not, it's not impossible. It's going to take, you know, everyone stepping up and doing their job. I think it's possible. Personally, I'm going to give it my all to get us there. but it's not going to be all on my shoulders. It's going to be, you know, the other nine guys that are behind me, or the other eight, I guess. But, you know, and then the other guys that are going to be pitching, you know, it's, I can only throw one game and I can only throw so many innings, so many pitches. We're all human. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you got to pick it up when the other guy puts it down and keep going. But I mean, I think if we believe, we buy into what we're doing and what we've seen, what we can do as a team, I think we have a good shot at it.
We're about to reach the top, actually, of our journey. And just before that, I wanted to ask you, what are your future plans? You said at some point, when the time comes, you hang up your cleats. And right now you're 31. And usually the retiring age of baseball players is around towards the late 30s. Where do you see yourself in the next couple of years?
I mean, if I can get another contract and keep playing, yeah, definitely. I want to potentially open up my own academy back in the States, and kind of get that going, just so I'm able to give back to my community, because that's something that we've been lacking, and I didn't really have that as a kid, that option. I mean, I want to open up an academy and be a coach, but I'm, like I said, just building a resume as a player and continuing to be a student of the game and, you know, learning every day and every time I get out there on the field.
And what about your immediate future? Right now, there are 12 games left in the season. If you reach the playoffs, I think the season goes until July. What are your plans to stay with the team with the Hard Disciples, or join another team? Got any other offers yet?
I don't have any offers yet at the moment. I'm definitely open. I'm not sure as to far as what'll go on. I'm open, like I said. If we don't make the playoffs, I'll probably go back home and start giving lessons again. And I mean, my phone rings. There's no telling where I may end up, but I just, you know, I'm fully committed to giving, you know, the Disciples my full effort right now. And that's kind of where I'm at, and is like taking steps in the right direction moving forward. I mean, I think they would like to have me back for another season if everything's well, but you know, we'll see what happens. I'm optimistic about continuing to get into play. My arm feels good. Yesterday when I was pitching, you know, I had on short rest, my arm felt fine, but it was my legs that got tired. It wasn't necessarily the arm that was up the issue. Just, you know, that step down the mountain gets a little bit further and further as those legs get tired. And that's kind of where I found myself, was getting stuck in that stride. But I managed to get through six innings, but gave us a chance. But it was fun.
Zach, thank you so much for taking a ride with me. We reached the top. Where we stay with the metaphor.
Yeah.
And, thank you so much for being here, to joining me in our podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Look forward to talking to you at the field.
Die Sportgondel.
Hinblick. Egal, immer ein Hinblick auf was? Was soll das? Was wollen wir hinblicken? Auch ein Hinblick auf dieses Interview.
Sportgondel ist eine M94.5 Produktion. Ein Angebot der Media School Bayern.